We're doing the Rambam's introduction to Mishnah in the Rambam Lam edition. It's page Mem Bet, page 42. Why did Rebbe find it necessary to write the difference of opinions? Let's just write what the bottom line is. Why does Rebbe include two different opinions in the Mishnah? You have it, Arthur? Yeah?
It's a second paragraph.
So why did Rebbe have to write the differences of opinion? Huma she'omar, it says, I will explain. Ilu nichtevu alachot elu psukot she'en ben machloket, if Rebbe would have simply written the Mishnah as simple alachot without mentioning that there were differing opinions, menitchu divrei chacham she'en alacha kumoto, and Rebbe would neglect to mention that there was a sage who had an opinion, and that opinion was not accepted in halacha. Efshar she'yavo achar ken mi shekibel hefech hadavar shalav nifseka ha-halacha me'achacham acholek al hada'at ahi. Then what might happen is that at a later time, someone will come who has a tradition from that rabbi who wasn't accepted by the rabbis in general in halacha. So we discussed that even machlokot that the sages reached the bottom line, nonetheless, there was a period where there were two differing opinions. There was a period where Rabbi Eliezer ruled in his town that we desecrate Shabbos for preparing for a Brit Milah. So in Rabbi Eliezer's town, they would cut down trees on Shabbos in order to prepare a knife in order to do Brit Milah on Shabbat. In Rabbi Yossi Aglili's town, when Rabbi Yossi Aglili was rabbi, they would eat bird meat with milk, because that's how Rabbi Yossi Aglili ruled. So in the Galilee, in Rabbi Yossi Aglili's time, that was the ruling. Later on, the rabbis ruled differently. Now, what would happen if someone who lived, let's say, in the Galilee, he traveled out to Uzbekistan, and he built a community there, and 500 years later, he comes back and rejoins the Jewish people, and with his community, they're all eating chicken cheeseburgers. So the Jews would look at them and they'd say, "You guys have no tradition." Now that Rebbe included in the Mishnah the differing opinion, so then if someone shows up and he has a different tradition, we know to say he's a Jew, he's very good, but he has a tradition that goes with that opinion.
Why not some other country? You just said Uzbekistan. I'm from Uzbekistan.
Next time I'll try to use a different country. He's going with the tradition of someone who's with that differing opinion. If the person would show up and we did not have the differing opinions, then we'd start doubting this person. We'd say, what kind of tradition does he have? How could he say that this is prohibited when the Mishnah says it is permissible? Or how could he say this is permissible when the Mishnah says it is prohibited? And therefore, when the Mishnah includes the differing opinions, we end up closing this breach by giving us the tradition, the understanding that there were once other opinions. For when one comes in and says, I have on tradition that this is prohibited, and we look in our Mishnah, and our Mishnah says the rabbis permit it, nonetheless we could tell him, we understand you. You spoke correctly. What you said is the opinion of such and such a rabbi. Being that the Mishnah includes the other opinions, if someone's going to come in with that opinion, we could tell him, you're okay, you have a tradition, we understand you, but that's a tradition that we don't rule that way. Aval rabim cholkim alav, the majority didn't agree with this opinion. Ofloni cholek alav, or so and so disagreed with this opinion. Valacha kedat acholek, and the halacha is like the other opinion. Mipnei shesvarato ita nechona, either because his logic was more accepted, o mipnei shematzanu devar mesayehu, or because we found proof that he was right. Aval atam sheitzich, so that's one thing. When you have two opinions, why did Rebbe have to quote the differing opinion? So that the Jews, when they encounter Jews with other traditions, they'll understand which traditions have validity. Though there could be traditions that go with a singular opinion. The Yemenites wear their talis on Friday night. So yes, they're going with the Rambam's opinion. So that's not the time of the Mishnah, but that's still an example of something which we would look askant if we saw it, but that's their tradition. We know where it's coming from. The Yemenites on Sukkot, they have three hadasim, like the Torah says, and then they have a whole cluster of hadasim surrounding their lulav, arava, and hadasim. We would say bal tosif. We would say that seems to be in transgression of the prohibition. Do not add to the mitzvahs of the Torah. The Rambam says their tradition was that you could surround the lulav and hadasim and aravos with other hadasim that are not kosher, because this is considered that you're, so to speak, embalming, you're decorating the lulav. So we would say that's not beautifying. The Torah says three, you added another 50, that's not beautifying, that's not the mitzvah. But the Rambam says that there is such a tradition, and that's considered beautifying the mitzvah. So today when you see a Yemenite holding his lulav and hadasim and arava surrounded by another 50 hadasim, we understand, okay, it's not that he's far out, he's going with the Rambam's tradition. So by the same token, in the time of the Mishnah, Rebbe incorporated the minority opinions that when we see someone who has that tradition, we won't look at him and say, oh, he's a Karaite, he's a Tzduki, he's a Baitusi, he's a weirdo, he doesn't know what he's talking about. No, we say he has this tradition, and when we get to talk to him, we'll explain to him, look, but that opinion was not accepted in Halakha. אבל הטעם שצריכו לקבוע דברי יחיד ורבים, but why did Rebbe see it necessary to mention the minority opinion when he's also mentioning the majority opinion? So here there's another reason, a halachic reason. Because sometimes the halacha is going to be like the minority opinion. And that's why Rebbe came to teach you. When we have a clear logic going with one opinion, even if it's the minority opinion, the singular opinion that's outnumbered, we listen to that opinion. Even though the majority disagree with him. So here the Rambam seems to say it's a more of a Musar point, that Rebbe is teaching us this concept that you go with the opinion that's right, even if it's the minority opinion. Matam sheitzicho lichtov dat ish echad v'achar ken chozeru min hadat ahi. And why did he have to write an opinion that sometimes we go back on that opinion? Kegon shamru bet shamay umim v'tlenu inkar chach v'zuv tilel lorok divrei bet shamay. We have a listing of mishnayot and eduyot where Beis Shammai say one way, Beis Hillel say the other way. And then Beis Shammai convinced Beis Hillel, and Beis Hillel gave in to Beis Shammai. So why does Rebbe have to tell us this history, that initially there were two opinions, when ultimately they unified to one opinion? Kedei lo diacha avatam emet, to let you know how much they loved the truth. Bagbarat tzedek ve'emuna, and that above all they were interested in what was right, in being faithful to what is true. Sha'arei elu anashim anichbadim achasidim andivim amuflagim b'chokhmah. For these people, who they were honorable people, they were the heads of the nation, they were pious people, they were philanthropists, they were exceptional in their wisdom. When they recognized that the one who's arguing with them is having a better claim than theirs, and his analysis is accurate, hodulo v'chazru ledato. They gave in to his opinion and they adopted his opinion. Kol sheken, certainly, she'ar anashim, anyone else, birotam emet notaim bal machluktam, when they recognize that the one who they're arguing with, he's got it right, he's saying the truth, yiyu kmochen notin la'emet bal yakshu oref, they should also give in to the truth and not be stubborn. The Zeo Divrei HaKatuv, and that's what the verse teaches us, Tzedek Tzedek Tirdof, one should always chase after the truth. V'al Zeh Amru Chachamim, and regarding this our sages said, Eve Modeh L'Emet, admit to the truth. Ritzonam Lomar, what they mean to say, Af Al Pi Shetuchal Latzin Nafshcha Bitanot Tochachiyot, you could sometimes make claims. If the point is debating, sometimes you could debate and win the debate. You could find an argument. But כשתדא שדיברי חברך, when you know that the words of your friend, אשר תנתח עליו גלויה מפני חולשתו, מפני יכולתך להטעות הם האמת, even though your claim seems to be stronger because he's not as good at debating, or because you could deceive him with the truth, Nonetheless, Chazor l'dvarav ve'ariv netosh. Adopt his opinion, admit to the truth, and leave the argument. So the Rambam gave us a breakdown of three reasons why we have differing opinions in the Mishnah. One, if someone comes from afar and he has this tradition, we'll recognize that it's a valid tradition. Two, because sometimes the halacha is going to be like the minority opinion. And three, in instances where the Mishnah itself records that they gave in from their opinion, that's to teach us the Musar, the concept that a person should be willing to give in, a person's main goal should be to achieve the truth. Now, what the Rambam did not mention here, but I don't think what the Rambam says precludes this, is the halachic concept. When we have a minority opinion, so ordinarily we go with the majority opinion. But even though we might give ruling with the majority opinion, incorporated into that ruling is the following halachic concept. Rabbi A says it is permitted. Rabbis C, let's say Chachamim, say it is prohibited. We'll give ruling that we go with Rabbi C and we say it's prohibited. But incorporated in that ruling is that Bishas Adchak, if there will be a circumstance where things are really pressed, then we will go with the minority opinion. The minority opinion has halachic weight. When we mention it in halacha, very often the concept is we will rule with the majority opinion, but in a shas adchak we can rely on the minority opinion. So the fact that Rebbe incorporated the minority opinion gives us greater leeway in halacha to sometimes go with that minority opinion. And when we learn more halacha, we'll find many instances to discuss this concept, how to apply it. Obviously, we haven't learned all the aspects of this halacha. We ourselves cannot apply it yet. But we should just be familiar that there is this halachic concept as well, this halachic advantage to knowing the minority opinion.